A beacon shining in the night, faster than a bolt of light, cloaked but hiding in plain sight.
Their mission, to help the Green Arrow fight the darkness, corruption, and bring hope.
We are strong.
We are many.
We are the Arrow Squad.
Hi, this is Stephen Amell.
Hi, I'm Juliana Harkavy, and you're listening to Arrow Squad with Cammy the Chameleon and my favorite, Martin the Flash.
And listen to this, or my fictional alter ego will hunt you down. Enjoy.
3 years and 3 months ago, we said goodbye to Arrow Squad, not knowing for sure if we'd ever return. But we are back, baby! Holy crap, we are back! We must have Spectre Oliver to thank for also resurrecting us when he fixed the multiverse and saved those that meant the most to him. No, you're not dreaming. No, you are not going crazy. This is Arrow Squad, and I am checking myself all over, making sure this is really myself. I am the Flash.
And this is Cammy. I am so excited, Flash, to emerge from hibernation and the shadows and talk all things Arrow one last time. Much like Oliver, I've been keeping my eye on things from afar, but it is warming my cold, villainous heart to get to come back for one last hurrah.
Yes, it is so good to be back with you, Cammy.
It is so good.
Out of the ashes. Just like you said, it is so good to hear your voice, to see your face, and be back with our Arrow Squad team. And I can only imagine how much of a shock and surprise this is going to be for all our listeners.
It is definitely breaking news, and I'm not sure any news can top this reunion, but we might have some news, just for old time's sake, to bring to the squad.
All right.
So, Flash, tell me, what has been going on in the last 3 years?
Well, let's dive into it. We got all the old sound clips to play, so let's get into our news. Well, what do you have? I just got out of Calgary Expo last week, so I got to see Stephen Amell and David Ramsey again and listen in on their panels and listen to what they had to say. So not a ton of news as to what's coming up, but Stephen Amell himself, season 2 of his wrestling TV show Heels, is going to be released sometime this summer. They don't have an exact date yet, but that is coming out this summer, and it's getting like really, really high ratings and rave reviews. So if you really want to check out Stephen Amell, see where you can find Heels. I think it's TNT. I'm not sure what the networks are that are playing it. I'm having trouble finding it myself because I do want to check it out, but that's what he's got going on. And then David Ramsey, the only thing he could let us know about is there's this little short film that he's made with a bunch of other fans of superhero stuff, and it's called Legend of the White Dragon. And that comes out September 4th.
Ooh.
So that's something you can look forward to that he's a part of with a small cast. And then he's just doing some directing. He'll be directing some Superman and Lois episodes. And the one thing he did let us know is that Superman and Lois is one you might want to keep an eye on for the return of Diggle. He said they're not done with his story there. Diggle is alive and well in that universe, and the Green Ring is also still there. So he said, we're workshopping ideas. We're working on things. There's a lot going on because of all the changes that happened behind the scenes with the CW and Warner Brothers and Discovery, all that stuff. He says a lot of the ideas and stories got put on the back shelf, but they're not forgotten about. They do get together and discuss things and try to figure things out. So they're working on something. Well, we'll just have to see.
Well, that sounds amazing. And by the way, anybody listening, if you have not got a chance to see Martin's picture with Stephen and David, it's fantastic. Go to Facebook or wherever it is on social media and check it out. It's pretty great. But to round out our Team Arrow trio, I'll just let you know what Miss Emily Bett has been working on. So, she's been kind of doing the film festival type movie circuit. So a little less television, a little bit more of these kind of niche artsy films. She recently, in the last couple of years, won Best Actress in a Feature Film for We Need to Talk, which was a movie that was at a film festival in Philadelphia or something to that effect. She's currently working on a French film called Something and the Tiger. I'm not sure, but it reminds us that she's Canadian and apparently speaks French. And there have been rumors, and it's not confirmed, that she is going to be in a biopic for the first female wrestler in like the 1940s in some sort of WWE thing, which is interesting. Apparently she's been keeping up with that wrestling and boxing stuff she used to do.
Wow. Like that. Okay. That is cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look up some of that stuff. I wonder if Stephen Amello will be around to kind of support her in this wrestling idea. That's pretty cool.
Right. That seems like a pretty good resource. He knows a little bit about TV wrestling, I hear.
He does. And I mean, yeah, that'd be so cool. Can you imagine? Because he goes on WWE. He's done it twice now and been in an actual match and have actual TV drama with some of the wrestlers going on.
Right.
Can you imagine if he brought in Emily Bett and they did like a tag team, him and her against another guy and girl matchup? How cool would that be?
That'd be so killer. I would be seated and watching, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. Find some tickets for that. Yeah, so cool. Well, that's good. I had no idea what she was up to. And yeah, she is full-on Canadian, and that's really cool. I didn't know that she was fluent enough in French to be able to do a movie in the language. So that's cool.
I don't know if it's actually in French, but it's like on all these French sites, and it's a French director, and it's filming in France, and it's based on like a French script or something to that effect.
Yeah.
I don't know French, so that's about the extent of my knowledge.
Yeah. Interesting. I'll have to check in all that stuff. Cool. Good to know she's been busy.
Yeah. Well, what else has been going on in the Arrowverse other than our trio? Any renewals or cancellations or anything we should have on our radar, Flash?
The only thing I know is it hasn't been confirmed yet because Superman and Lois, they're just in season 3 right now. But it has been discussed that season 4 is coming. It just hasn't, the network just hasn't officially signed the deal yet. But they're for sure doing a season 4, and I believe season 5 is where they're hoping to at least get to. I think they've got some stories reaching out because in the season, if anybody's not watching right now, we're currently dealing with Bruno Mannheim as the main villain. Mm-hmm. And I think they're planning on slowly introducing Lex Luthor towards the end of season 3. And mm-hmm. he's slated to be the main villain for season 4. So that's the trajectory that they're on. And I think once you introduce Lex Luthor, that might be a storyline that has to take place over more than one season. So we got fingers crossed. All of the important people, quote unquote, in the offices that are part of the takeover and the switching and all that stuff that's going on, they have gone on record to say that they all do really like the Superman and Lois TV show, and they don't really have any plans to cancel it, even though everything else is getting canceled. Left and right, Superman and Lois seems to be in their hearts, and I think they're going to continue to carry it forward. So at least there's that much good news to keep your fingers crossed about.
That is great news. You know, far be it for me to root for heroes, but I do quite like Superman and Lois. I've definitely been keeping up with it as well. But we're
good. I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, I sure am. I'm enjoying it, and I am uncharacteristically rooting for the heroes on that. But I mean, who would not root for Lois Lane? But Flash,
they're amazing characters. Yeah.
Well, Flash, we could talk all day about Superman and Lois, but we are actually here to talk about Arrow, and I want to know your rating of this kind of Arrow episode.
Let's get into it. All right. Well, just like old times, Cammy, I am giving this one a 9 happy tears. This Flash episode that brought back Oliver Queen and Diggle. We thought it would never happen. We thought we would never see Oliver return to the Arrowverse, especially now as all the shows are closing out and the Warner Brothers is moving on. But our little hearts were struck by a green arrow of luck recently as Stephen Amell said yes to helping bring Barry to his final run. And I couldn't be happier. Well, maybe a little more happy if they brought him back earlier in the episode. They took so dang long. That's all any of us were truly there for, was to see him suit up again. But I tell you, Cammy, The moment he was on screen and we heard his voice, that was it. The emotion started welling up and I was filled with feelings of familiarity and the comfort of long-lost friends returning. And then finally, satisfaction. There really wasn't much more they could give us. We got a full-on Arrow-style action scene. We got Ollie wisdom to Barry. We got the iconic music cues, and we got all the goodbyes that we never had in Arrow's finale. It was wonderful.
Oh, Flash, I could not agree more. I'm giving this episode an 8 out of 10. And one thing I want to clarify here, I'm rating this as a Flash episode, and I never rate Flash this high. If you've been listening for a while, yeah, you probably know that. This episode,
neither have we, just so you know.
Oh, I trust you. This episode was really something special. The care that was taken to not just have our Arrow characters show up, but to give us a slice of the Arrow world with them really took this from a fun sort of last sighting to an homage to the Arrowverse. In the past, Flash, you'll recall I was consistently critical of crossovers, and I didn't feel that they captured the tone and character of visiting heroes because they were written and directed by new folks. I never felt crossovers meaningfully moved anyone's story forward, but this episode does both so well, and you'll hear that in my favorite clip later, spoiler alert. Did I ignore every part of the episode that wasn't Arrow? Well, yes. But with those blinders on, this was the best episode of Flash yet.
Well, yeah, I agree with a lot of what you had to say. I mean, it is true. This has not been the best season of Flash. It has struggled. It opened really good. It was a great premiere. And then it just lost its way. And it seemed like the writers are just out of ideas and out of creativity. There's been a few sparks, a few high moments here, you know, and these are just my feelings. My co-hosts over on Legends, a couple of them have been enjoying a lot of it more than I have, but it, like I said, it's had some brilliant moments, but overall just not that great. And then they bring in this episode and my feeling is just like, where has this writing been all season for the last three seasons or four seasons? Where has this been? Like, it's just, yes, best Flash episode in a long time. And I'm going to say best Flash episode in the last five seasons, at least. Like, it really was good. And I mean, it's just because of what they're doing. Is it Oliver that we got to give all the credit to? Partially, yes. But I think the writers kind of knew what they were doing and they had to properly do this or it just wasn't going to come out right.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, Oliver may not get all of the credit, but he is going to get our first focus in the discussion today because it has been years, as you said, and Oliver as Green Arrow has returned to our screen. So let's just start this off. What did you think about this glimpse that we got into his journey?
Well, yeah, I mean, even what you just said in the beginning there, we're here because Arrow Squad, so we are mostly going to focus on Oliver. This is what we're talking about. It's right, the return of the Green Arrow. So now, you're referring to him saying when he was building Earth Prime and he was also building the new multiverse, correct?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, so that gives us answers to why all the new shows are on separate Earths and all the characters aren't mingling, like Stargirl, like Titans, like Superman and Lois. Because everybody's been wondering about that. Like, why aren't these characters seeing each other? I thought they're all on Earth Prime now. Why on Superman and Lois do they keep reminding us that he's the only superhero in the world? That doesn't make sense. Why does Stargirl not know about anybody else? Why have they never talked about, you know, Superman or Flash or anything like that? And we keep hearing that this is Earth number whatever, or we're on Earth 2 or whatever they're designating it. It never made sense because according to the crossover, the Spectre made one Prime Earth, amalgamated them all together into one to make it easier and safer and whatever. And now we find out that that's not the case. So it's a smart writing trick to kind of get around the questions that we all had back then. And I think it gives us the answers. We can all go, finally, it makes sense. Now we understand. Okay, he rebuilt the multiverse again. Okay, good. And apparently there's over 4,000 of them at least because he said, what did he say? Somebody's from Earth 4125 or something like that. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? You know, he's like, I've had a lot of time on my hands. Okay. But also, when he's talking to Barry about why he couldn't bring back his own dad, Mr. Queen, that's also part of a glimpse into his journey, I think. And I love that he explains that he couldn't change reality that much. If he brought his dad back, it would alter Oliver's personal path to becoming the Green Arrow, to becoming the Spectre. It would change reality too much. And I think that plays into a lot of what this Arrowverse has really all focused in on, is that there are fixed points in time that can't be changed. And we've heard that on Legends, we've heard that in Flash, and now we're kind of getting in a little bit in Arrow as well, that there are certain points in time that dictate the way reality goes, and they can't change those specific points. And I think his dad in the raft off the coast of Lianyu is one of them.
Yeah.
So,
and it's interesting to see that in contrast then to this part of his journey, to know where he was before and to know how he felt about his past losses. His father is a pretty critical one that you bring up, but also his mother, you know, he suffered a lot of loss on the show, and he's currently experiencing isolation at this part in his journey. And that, you know, we hear later, he cannot interact with his wife and children. He can only kind of watch them from afar, but his resignation to those responsibilities and the gravity of that is interesting to see in contrast to the placement right now on the Flash. And that's why I feel like this crossover was quite smart in when they brought in the character and how they did that, because it allowed him to come in as a voice of wisdom to Barry, who has consistently struggled with this idea that you can't change things, you should not change things, it is not ethical to put your family and your city and your world at risk in order to try to change things and kind of play God with this. And Oliver is able to come in as a voice of wisdom to that effect, because he's now in a position where he can do conceptually some of these things that Barry can do, of sort of traveling in a godlike way, but he respects the rules of that position. We do see a bit of the old Oliver. He's still kind of in there in how he approaches conflict and how he approaches darkness in this episode. It's brief, but we do see that. He's still the same character, but there's a gravity here that I think is really, really interesting and meaningful on the Flash right now.
Yeah. I just wanted to add it in. Like, I also feel like you could hear it in his voice as he's explaining all of this to Barry. You can hear the anger, the anguish, the pain of having to accept it, because it's like he's explaining it to Barry, but he's also accepting it at the same time, that this is just what has to happen. We just have to accept this. And you can hear that anguish in his voice, that even as a Spectre, some things can't be changed. Even with his power that he has, he can't change certain things. And I think that's part of his own growth, becoming the Spectre, and these three years and 3 months and whatever that it's been, he's had to come to understand that himself. And I there's something about Stephen Amell's performance. Like, my gosh, we heard him. That was one of the questions at the expo panel was, you know, what was it like to get back to the show? And David Ramsey even spoke about this, that Stephen Amell was really, really nervous to come back. And when David Ramsey asked him about it, he said, well, I want to do Oliver Queen justice. I want to make sure I tap into that emotion we left him on, and I can get that back and bring him back properly. And he was really nervous about being able to find that again. But I tell you, he, it was like no time has passed. That was Oliver. And I missed it so much. Like I said, the sound of his voice, it just, oh, grabbed you.
Yeah. It definitely brings a grounding nature to the show, you know, as this is where Flash started.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about the moments in time in Oliver's journey that they had to capture. And there's a very specific moment in time that they're capturing here. And I think they made a smart choice of what they showed and where they showed it. But we have had a future peek at where he goes from here. The sort of, I think we've kind of informally titled it the Paradise Dimension, even though I don't think that's in canon what they call it on screen. How did you feel this episode set up for that, as we know that's where he ends up?
Yeah, that's right. This does take place before he meets Felicity at Queen Consolidated in the Arrow finale. And you have to really think about it because it's tricky to keep track of the timing of everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that messed a lot of people up, especially when him and Diggle were talking at the birthday party. The way Diggle was explaining, like, hey, have you checked on your kids? We'll talk about that in a little bit later. But when Diggle asks if he'll see her this time and he says his powers came with rules and that their destiny is already written, I like that they didn't change what we saw in Arrow's finale. There was no retconning here. There was no rewriting. There was no throwing extra information on top to confuse us more. He just has to be patient and wait out those years. Because what was the year that she goes ahead and meets him? That's quite a few years down the road that she finally meets up with the Monitor and he takes her to Oliver, right?
Like 15, 20 years from what we just saw on Flash minimum.
Right. So he has to be patient and wait out those years, but he can watch over them. So it was kind of nice to know that he's around, even if they can't see him, he's around to watch them and he gets to witness his kids grow up and witness Felicity's successes and everything that she's doing. He gets to at least see that and not have to be without it. Because that was a lot of what I think he was worried about. It was a lot of what us, the listeners and the viewers, were worried about when he had to give everything up. We all cried, like, no, you're going to miss your entire family. I mean, Mia was just born. Like, he only didn't even get to meet her as a baby. Mm-hmm. She misses her entire life. So I love that he gets to watch over them.
Yeah, it makes it more meaningful that he gets that at the end, seeing him mm-hmm. here. It's sort of a perfect mix of growth where he won't choose to mess up endless dimensions for his own wants. And he also just bends rules just enough, you know, watching over them, eventually formulating a plan to get Felicity to the paradise dimension. I mean, who wouldn't want that? Yeah. Such that we know that the fighter and the vigilante is still there, but we see the age, we see the gravitas. He's resigned to those rules and he understands gravity. He also seems to have a greater understanding of how multiple dimensions work. Did you get the sense, seeing him at this slice of time, that he's going through another island emotionally?
That's an interesting idea, an interesting way to look at his situation, because he has gained a lot of wisdom, and you can tell. Like, I mean, he even looks a little gray here. When he first shows up on Leah and You, he looked gray from some of those angles. So I kind of thought, well, Oliver's getting older. And I found out at the panel that Stephen Amell's actually 42. So, like, oh, okay. He's not that old yet. But did you, side note, how old do you think David Ramsey is?
He is 10 years older than Stephen Amell, so I believe he's early 50s, but he does not look early 50s. So I'm saying that from calculating numbers standpoint, not from a visual standpoint.
You are correct, exactly. Because when I was talking to him, and if you want to ask me questions about talking to him later, we can save that as bonus content. But when I was talking to him, I threw out the line there because he made some joke about being young. I said, hey man, I bet you I'm older than you, David. And he's like, why? How old are you? And I said, well, I just turned 50. And he's like, no, I got you by two. I'm 52. Oh, wow. I said, man, he does look amazing. So anyway, Stephen Amell has grayed a little bit. So that's kind of funny. But I imagine that becoming Spectre immediately comes with full understanding of how the universe works, or he wouldn't be able to rebuild it. But what I'm curious about is the rules. And when he says he's not allowed to do certain things, who's above him? Who sets the rules? And why can't he change them with his omnipotent power that he has? Those are my questions that we don't quite have answers to, because I don't know a lot about the Spectre in the comic books or even the animated series, but I don't think they've ever really explained where his power comes from. Why is he as big a deal as he is, and who reigns supreme over him? Who sets, like I said, who sets the ground rules for what he can do? Because the way he talks to Diggle, he's like, yeah, I'm not allowed to do certain things. Okay, why? Mm-hmm. Why can't you? But I wouldn't say, I don't know, maybe thinking about it, I'm not sure if he's maybe stuck on another island. I think he just understands that he has to wait. But I'm glad that he can still feel and still express, because a lot of godlike beings that we have seen in these TV shows and in the comic books especially, they don't have emotions. They don't feel. They don't care. They toy with with humans and other beings, like, we're just pieces of a puzzle. Like, we're just parts of experiments. Like, they don't care. So it makes me feel good that Oliver still is able to have compassion and feel when he's doing the things that he does. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And, whether he's emotionally or mentally on an island or not, I think we're seeing him at a place of strength mentally and emotionally, even if it's a difficult point. We are also seeing him at potentially his physically strongest point. Based on the action sequence, we're led to believe that, at least. So what what growth, physical fight skill, emotional awareness, mental acuity, really stood out to you the most in this, I guess, more grown-up Oliver?
I kind of got the feeling that when he made himself Arrow again, he didn't really have his full Spectre power, because otherwise he'd be way overpowered in that fight sequence, and he could just maybe flick his fingers, snap his fingers, whatever, and be done with everybody. But he got back to ground level fighting, like hand to hand combat, using all of his ground level skill. I mean, why would he need a bow and arrow if he's as powerful as a Spectre? So I feel like when he punched Barry in the face to bring him back to life, and he also put himself there, it feels like that might be one of the rules he has to follow. He cannot take part in the natural world as the Spectre fully. He had to make himself somewhat mortal again with limited abilities. That's kind of the feeling I got. Although some of those punches seem to have a little more oomph to them. I mean, he was taking guys out with one hit. I mean, I guess he used to do that, but the way they filmed it, it just felt like there was a little bit more strength behind them. So who knows, really? I think he was Arrow with a hint of Spectre still in there enough. I think maybe not hint is the right way to describe it. He was still able to be in connection with his Spectre power so that he can transition back to the Spectre when he needed to, is, I guess, the best way I want to describe it. But to look at it from a different angle, I also think he really, when you're talking about his grown up, like his emotional awareness and all that kind of stuff, I think he was really resolute in his patience. That's what stood out to me. He was able to calm Barry down, who was panicking in the forest when he first woke up. Mm-hmm. He was able to bring that down. And he just doled out the wisdom. Like he's 100 years old already. Like, he just had this awesome wisdom. You know, the stuff that Diggle used to give him all the time, the Diggle mm-hmm. wisdom that we love so much. That's where I think he's grown, is his patience.
Yeah. I like that you point out how old and wise he seems now, because we can contrast that to his initial development. Like, think way back, season one, where he's trained as a fighter, but he's very emotionally stunted. He's still mentally in some ways stuck at 19 years old to an extent. And with this appearance of Oliver, we're seeing him, like you said, like he's like 100 years old already. We're really getting that full age spectrum of his development to sort of close out the series, or at least close out potentially the last time we see this incarnation of Arrow ever. You also brought up Diggle. So that's a great transition that you've made for us there, because Oliver is joined by Diggle. So let's talk Team Arrow from a broader standpoint. It's always a treat to see Diggle on screen. We have seen a lot of Diggle across the Arrowverse in the past couple of years. Was this appearance different to you at all, given the presence of Oliver?
Yes, it was. And it's weird to think about that, because we love Diggle. And seeing him show up on the other shows has been great, as it keeps that cohesiveness of the Arrowverse world together. Like, oh, there's Diggle. There's a familiar face. Ah, okay, everything is good in the world. But it's kind of odd having him without Oliver there. I think I have to admit that. Diggle by himself, there's something strange about that. Because on Arrow, that was their show together. They were brothers since the very beginning. And we saw that build over 8 seasons. And in fact, David Ramsey at the Expo this last weekend, he said that when he first got hired, similar to Felicity's story, he wasn't supposed to be a main character. He was the 8th on the call sheet, which is way down. If you understand how movies and TV shows work, when you're on the call sheet, the main characters are like the top 2 or 3. When you're 8th, you're way down the list. Mm-hmm. But after the first couple episodes, they bumped him right up to the main cast because of the chemistry that he had with Stephen Amell. So that was a very interesting story I had never heard before. So going back to your original question, it was different because they are together again, and there's a lot of emotional beats that we just don't get when it's just Diggle on his own. So that's the best way I could describe why it felt different to have them back together on The Flash when we've seen Diggle on all the other TV shows, you know, over the last couple of years, and it's been great, but it is different. It's so funny that you asked me that question, because when I thought about it, I was like, yeah, it does feel different. And Hopefully my explanation makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And I completely agree with you. I think, you know, as you know, historically, I've struggled with how Diggle has been written in crossovers. And some shows have done it better than others. But I see sometimes a consistent struggle to write Diggle as the kind of character that we saw him on Arrow. And I get the sense that perhaps in this appearance of him, because Oliver was there, and we'll get into this, I think the writing and direction for this episode was really smart and really informed by original Arrow tones, we're able to see him be in character. Previously, very specific to The Flash, when we've seen him pop up on The Flash, his character has been written as oddly quirky and comedic in a way that seems to be taking Diggle to try to make him fit The Flash tone, but fully reads as out of character. It's enjoyable, but it's not the same. It's not the Diggle that we know from Arrow. And in this episode, I really felt the writing and the direction for him reflected the real Diggle that we saw on Arrow in the interactions he had with Oliver on screen in this episode, and also in the interactions he had without Oliver. Something about this episode showed that the creative direction understood what Arrow looked like. And that did go beyond just Diggle. And, you know, in fact, we get to see Oliver and Diggle fight alongside each other for, you know, first time in ages, 3 years, whatever it is, likely the last time ever. What were your thoughts specific to the tone and style of fighting that we see in this episode in comparison to past Flash episodes, which you're familiar with? What did you think about this Arrow fight sequence?
First of all, I agree with everything you just added on to our last point of discussion. So excellent, excellent thoughts added on there. But oh man, this was Arrow all over it. This wasn't Flash style fighting at all. Flash relies so heavily on visual effects. Mm-hmm. I don't think Grant even has any real fight training because it's never actually really him. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the sequence that we got in this episode, it's Flash racing around the city with Wally. That's all CGI, except for the close-ups of their face. Mm-hmm. And that's always just, from what I've seen of behind the scenes, it's Grant Gustin on a treadmill, just, you know, doing the slow-mo running. And then they superimpose that on top of all the CGI. So that's always the difference because Flash doesn't stand there going toe-to-toe with anybody. When you look at all of the fight sequences we've ever had on Flash, he rarely stands there going toe-to-toe. Once in a while, if he slows down and stops running, he tries to throw a punch or whatever. But even then, quite often they're adding lightning to it and they're speeding it up or they're doing whatever. So there never really is good ground level hand-to-hand fighting on The Flash. But from a production perspective, I'm always tearing apart the fight sequences on these shows. If some of our listeners from Legends know, I'm always looking at the is that physically possible and the physics of it and which angles are best and all that kind of thing. Because I used to do a little bit of fight choreography myself for some of my short films. So I feel like I understand those kind of things. And Flash has never really figured out hand-to-hand fighting that well. It's never looked that good. They don't seem to have as good a fight and stunt coordinators as Arrow had. So yeah, it was definitely different this episode.
Yeah, that was really well said. I have no expertise to add to that, but I completely agree. it was different. And, you know, it was a nice way to say goodbye to Oliver and Diggle and both their emotional brotherhood as well as their physical fighting partnership by getting to see one last great sequence. But we do also get the emotional aspect of the goodbye to this pair of brothers. We get to see a real goodbye between Diggle and Oliver that we were denied in the past, you might recall. We're given that in this episode. Was it everything you hoped for, Flash?
Oh my God, yes. There was a certain point when the watery eyes started and it never really stopped. Diggle never got to say goodbye to Oliver, like you just said. And that, not only did that hurt him, but that hurt all of us as viewers. We were so sad for these characters that never got to send him off, never got to say goodbye. He sacrificed himself for all of them, and they couldn't say goodbye or say thank you. So this was a huge moment for him, for Diggle, for Oliver. And to hear Ollie say that he loves him, that broke me. That completely broke me when they're at the party there and they hug it out. I mean, it makes me wish that I could have a brotherhood friendship like those two have, because that is the type of thing, that type of lifelong brotherhood, have each other's back, is something we all should have in our lives. And that moment was just, it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. And it's what we needed all these years later. And it was like a sense of relief seeing that.
Yeah, I completely agree. It was beautifully written. And after all the time, you know, that Arrow gave to Flash and all the other shows within Arrow episodes, it was gratifying to be given this screen time for something so poignant and earned. They did not have to share their goodbye with Flash characters in the background or somehow turn it into something that was specifically forwarding the Flash plot. They actually were just gifted a moment, a full scene that was about them. And that was really great. But we did also have some Flash characters on screen, as much as I might have tried to ignore them, Flash. While we might like to think of this as an Arrow episode, and I certainly do, and thinking of it as an Arrow episode is the reason we're able to do an Arrow Squad episode for it, it was in fact a Flash episode after all. So did the reactions of Team Flash to our Arrow friends surprise you at all?
It was about half and half, I would say, as Oliver doesn't even show up until 20 minutes in. And the episode's only 42 minutes long. So right. he shows up right at the halfway moment. So not really, no. It was a surprise for everyone to see Oliver again. And I think that came off well. I think, you know, Diggle, they seem to be used to seeing every once in a while. The way they wrote it looks like Diggle comes around every once in a while because they're like, hey, Diggle just showed up for the birthday party. Yeah, yeah. Because we've seen him a few times, but I got the feeling that he shows up more often than what we get to see. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think the reactions were great because they all thought Oliver was gone. So I thought they played that well. Like, everyone's like, wow, it's great to see you again. Like, how has this happened? How's it, you know, because they were asking him questions and he was answering, you know, well, I do get to come back if the multiverse is in trouble. So, yeah, it was cool. I thought the reactions were good.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, granted, I wasn't particularly focused on the Flash folks, but it was nice to see their awe of Diggle and Oliver once more. I mean, there were a couple kind of sweet moments. I think it was towards the end of the episode, Keown, so the Caitlin Snow incarnation, seems to have some sort of understanding with him regarding, you know, the universe, and he gives her some information about her skills. And, you know, there's a few like kind of notable cute things, but overall it was just kind of nice to see their awe of Oliver and Diggle, and they kind of give them some space to do their thing.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Keown, this episode was directed by Daniel Panabaker, the actress who plays her, who's done a lot of directing for The Flash before. And it was intentionally stylized to include the Arrow-style fight sequences that we've talked about. They also included Arrow theme music. There was Arrow ambiance, you know, the rain and the dark. And, of course, the fairly iconic Arrow lines, "You have failed the city," and so on. Did you have a favorite moment or directive choice or any of this and all of those nods to Arrow?
I think there was two things. And I don't know if these are like our favorite moments. We're going to have them coming up in a little bit. But I think in regards to the directing choices that she was making, it's the Arrow music touches that really sunk in what we've been missing all these years, those iconic sounds. Because more so than anything Flash has, like you know you're watching Flash because of the music and the sounds, but I think because it's the Arrowverse, the Arrow sounds are that much more iconic. You know, the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, that stuff, we use it in our music cues here on Arrow Squad. It really made it stand out, and the fact that they kind of mixed it in with some of the Flash music, and I give it to the sound designers. They really, really did a great job, because it gives you this feeling of comforting relief. You know what I mean? That kind of mm-hmm. feeling. And so seeing like an old friend pop up one more time. But on another angle to look at, I also think just having Barry still look up to Oliver like an old mentor and needing that last bit of assurance from him that he's doing okay. Oliver was always that mentor role to him. And I like that they did that one more time as well. They gave us a couple scenes with just Barry and Oliver, and that allowed them to play on that relationship one more time. And that's what I think I really appreciated with what Danielle did here.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I cannot speak highly enough about how well I think Danielle captured and honored Arrow in this episode. And it should be noted, you know, she is a Flash character. She is a key, you know, main cast Flash character. I mean, she's three or four Flash characters, I guess. And
yeah,
she still chose in, you know, very specific directorial choices to honor Arrow. I mean, she's been around since the Arrow heyday. She was on Arrow multiple times. She's familiar with what the Arrow world looks and feels like. And I think there are some bold and intentional choices in this episode to pay homage to that, including what you point out, having Barry look up to Oliver once more. That is a very specific choice to have the Flash episode that has Oliver show up still show him as a mentor, an upper figure to Barry. I could see how tempting it would be in Flash's final season to try to show him as now Oliver's quote unquote equal, or generally downplay the tone or impact of Arrow, which has been done in prior crossovers. And we've talked about that. That's not done here. And that's what I think makes this so successful. There is a level of humbleness in bringing in the Arrowverse and paying homage to it that makes this episode beautiful, because there's a respect to the source. And that, by comparison, also makes the Flash look better. That makes this a better Flash episode.
Yeah, I agree with those last few thoughts you added on there, because this is where I've struggled with Flash all along, is we're 9 seasons in, mm-hmm. and Barry just has never matured. He's never grown up to be truly a leader, like in his own show, of his own team. And that is what has bugged me the most over these years. Cause the first 3 seasons of Flash are some of the best superhero TV we've ever gotten. It's right up there with season 2 of Arrow. And I've said that so many times on all of these different podcasts. They understood what Barry was and what he was, learning to become. But 9 years later, he still hasn't gotten it. He still hasn't figured it out. And the Barry that I know, you know, Barry Allen from the comic books, from some of the animated movies and stuff, he has always been a very strong and mature leader, very grounded, I'm still doing my forensic science. I'm helping the police. I go out and like, he's been a strong leader in the Justice League, very level-headed, and the team, like the Justice League, just trusts him. When he says, no, this is what I know, or this is what I figure out, they're like, oh, they're basically like, okay, Barry got it. Let's go do what he says. Like, and we've never, ever gotten that. Like, even in this season, we see Barry struggling to lead his team, and we see him like, you know, just the whiny, cryiny, overly emotional reactions to everything. And it's like, come on, 9 years, you haven't figured it out. So it ties in nicely, I think, with how you were saying, finally bringing Oliver back. Maybe now, with Oliver giving him this last little bit of advice, which we'll hear again in a little bit, but saying like, are you a guiding light for your city? Are you protecting your city? Are you looking over everybody? That's how you'll know that you've gotten to the hero that you're supposed to be. Like, I think this was like the final kick in the pants for Barry to be like, okay, now I can go on, and you've given me your final blessing. Now I can maybe finally go on to be the Flash I was always meant to be. Even though it's taken 9 years to get there, maybe this is the moment he'll finally rise up to that, to where we expected him to be, where I personally expect him to be maybe 4 years in.
Flash,
you know what I mean?
I love your optimism. I don't think Barry's going to stop being a whiny, cranny baby, but I love that you believe in him against all odds and even after all this time. Well, aside from, you know, perhaps Barry growing up and, you know, moving from diapers to pull-ups in the upcoming episodes, what do we think is going to go on from here in the Arrowverse? Do you think this is the last we'll see of Oliver and or the rest of the Arrow folks? Do you think we may see more pop-ups on one or more of our remaining DCCW shows? Where do we go from here?
Yeah, good question. It should be the last for Oliver. Although Stephen Amell said in his panel this last weekend that he will always answer the call to bring Oliver back. But there just might not be any more chances for him to do that now because of what's happening with everything. But if they decide there might be some, I don't know, three-part special or a movie event or something, whatever, Stephen Amell said he will always come back as Oliver Queen. He loves the character too much. He'll never say no to it. But we don't know. We just really have no idea. As for Diggle, we have confirmation from David Ramsey that Diggle is alive and well in Superman and Lois, and the ring is still there, the Green Lantern ring. And there's stuff coming for that story, is what he hinted at. It's not confirmed. He just, and I said it earlier in the podcast today, that they are working on ideas. It's whether they can get it to come to fruition on Superman Lois. His Justice U show is in limbo with all the changes. So there's nothing to get excited about that right now, but we're hoping. So that's as much as I can tell you. My speculation, we will see Diggle again on Superman and Lois. That's what I think for sure. After that, it's a very, very slim chance.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of, you know, it's grasping at straws, but sometimes those straws turn out to be delightful episodes like this one. I will still keep my fingers crossed and hope against hope that there's a chance we'll see a little glimmer of another dimension Felicity Smoke in Superman and Lois someday or something like that, even though I know Emily Bett doesn't do anything related to superhero television and she's, you know, off in another country making art house films. And I love that for her as well, but yes. we can cross our fingers and speculate.
We sure can. Definitely.
Well, Flash, we have talked about so many moments from this episode, but we have not heard any moments from this episode, and this would not be Arrow Squad without a favorite moments segment, and I want to know yours.
Let's get into it. Well, Cammy, I couldn't have a comeback special with you without including the best of the best. So I included two clips here, along with yours. And officially on record, we did hear these clips already. To any of our Legends listeners, these are very similar to the clips we played over on our Flash coverage last week. So you may hear these again. But I want to argue that these clips are so dang good that you're going to want to hear them again anyway. But for our Arrow Squad listeners, we got some moments here that really just touch on the importance of Oliver being back again in the Arrowverse and seeing all of our other characters again. So we're going to open it up with the first appearance of Oliver in the forest on Lianyu with Barry and what's going on there. So here's that clip.
The attack's starting. Ramsey's fed his cells into the breach. Soon they are going to infect your world and all of the worlds yet to be born.
I have to stop him. You have to get me out of here.
It's not that simple.
You have the power of a god. You can bring me back from the dead.
No, I can't. Not while there is a part of you that doesn't want to go back.
That's not true.
You've always been a terrible liar.
It's my birthday. Today. I didn't want to do anything, but Iris threw this party, and I should have been grateful. Happy. All I could think about was everyone who couldn't be there.
You've lost a lot of people this year.
Yeah. Frost died fighting Deathstorm. Caitlin died trying to save her. I fight some random mad scientist. I get 3 extra years to live. You know everything now, right, Oliver? Tell me, how is it right I'm alive and they're dead? How's that fair?
Life is a lot of things, Barry. Fair isn't on the list.
You don't really believe that. If you did, your mom wouldn't be alive again. Or Tommy, or Lance. You used your powers to bring back everyone you loved.
Not everyone.
Your dad.
Survive.
Ollie, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Bringing him back would have done too much to alter reality. And I'd already done enough to dishonor his sacrifice. When my father sacrificed himself, when he gave me my extra years, what was I doing with them? I was wasting them. I was drowning myself in this sea of pain and darkness and saying, Ollie, if you cross one more name off the list, if you save your city one more time, then you'll absolve yourself of all of this guilt. And I was wrong. This guilt is never going to go away. It is something that you have to learn to live with. That is why people sacrificed themselves. That is why I sacrificed myself for you, so that in all of this darkness, you could be a guiding light, a hero.
These heroes don't stop running.
You're damn right. So, are you ready to keep running? Good.
Wait, hang on. You're not gonna boot me again, are you? It kind of killed the Speed Force last time.
No, no. I'm not gonna boot you.
Ow! It hurts!
Living hurts. Add it to the list.
Wait, you came back too?
It's just temporary. I can only intervene when the multiverse is in danger.
I think you miss me.
Not as much as I missed this. Let's go kick some ass.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Just Stephen Amell delivering all of that, the emotion, the inflection, the expression in his voice. I don't know what he was nervous about, because it was like he never left. That was Ollie through and through. And even Grant Gustin stepped up. The two of them played off each other so beautifully in that scene. And the amount of information that we get and the wisdom that Oliver employs. That's exactly what I was talking about with Barry needing that last kick in the pants, Oliver having to give him his final words to prove to him that you are ready, Flash. Are you ready to keep running? Because only heroes keep running. Like it was beautiful. It's just so beautiful.
Yes, it was. And someone needs to boop Barry on a regular basis. And I love what you said about him communicating, essentially, not just are you ready, are you willing to be responsible? You have a responsibility. Stop thinking about yourself and execute on your responsibility, which is a level of wisdom that requires, you know, the age and gravitas that Oliver now brings in this incarnation of his character. And I teased earlier in the show that my favorite clip, which is probably not going to be surprising, gets at this idea of responsibility and rules as well.
Right. So the entire scene is here, start to finish of this moment. So here it is.
Lilo must be back at Argus to debrief her on the festivities.
Duty calls.
Mm. So, Are you going to get to see her this time?
My powers came with rules. Me and Felicity, our destiny's been written.
You sure would be proud of Rob. The kids too. William, he's in college. Mia? Mia can climb a salmon ladder, man, with the best of them.
I know. I've been keeping an eye on them.
Yeah.
And on you.
No!
John, that cube was designed to tempt you. But you did the right thing. And now all of your brightest days are ahead of you. Because they'll be spent with your family.
You're my family, Alba. I'm just glad I get to say goodbye to you. This time.
Too. I love you, John.
Love you too, brother.
Oh my God, that gets me every time. I'm teared up again.
Absolutely. It's such an emotional moment without, by the way, requiring any of the kind of over-the-top theatrics that sometimes we'll see on, you know, The Flash when they're trying to do their emotional moments and there's lightning, you know, CGI'd in and, you know, whatever. We get that beautiful soundtrack. We get this very well-structured dialogue that sounds like Oliver and Diggle. Again, I mentioned earlier, they're not having to share the stage with anyone else in this moment, which is really nice. It's not an overtly long scene or anything like that, but we get this understanding and this wisdom between them, and we see that pull that Oliver has. He wants to go be with his family, but he's making the ethically right choice, and the scene is made more beautiful knowing that eventually he will have a plan and he will execute that plan to bring, you know, Felicity at least into this other dimension. So we know there's a happy ending. We know that's what he's referring to when he's saying their destiny is written. We just have to go through this sort of island of sadness first. And it's also nice to hear Diggle kind of brief us on where the kids are at this point. And Mia can climb a salmon ladder.
It's funny that you bring that up. First, I want to say you touched on the music, and I meant to say that in my first clip. The music for these moments is some of the best we've ever gotten. It is so powerful. I think that that's what really, not only their performances, but the music is what brings me to tears. It is so strong. You mentioned Diggle bringing up the kids. This is where we discussed it on our Flash episode. People are really stuck on this because as far as we know, Crisis happened 3 years ago. Mia was just born. So here's Diggle saying, hey, you'd be proud of her. You know, your son's in college and Mia can climb a salmon ladder. At 3 years old, she can climb a salmon ladder. So I want to get your perspective. We were trying to think, has there been some time jumps in here that have allowed Mia to grow up a little bit more? Maybe she's a teenager now. Like, I want to know your perspective. How can you explain what Diggle is telling us here? Because logistically, it doesn't make any sense. She should only be 3 years old, and I think that's messing some people up. So what is going on with that timeline here?
That's a good question. I don't immediately have an answer other than the idea that perhaps Oliver and Felicity's three-year-old can climb a salmon ladder.
It just doesn't make it.
I'm not, we've had some mess ups with the timeline, mostly caused by The Flash. So it makes sense that this is on The Flash. I could also be forgetting exactly where some of the jumps with Mia occurred. We got a little bit of insight into this in, you recall that episode that was supposed to be sort of a backdoor pilot, or series of episodes, really, that was supposed to be a backdoor pilot to what would have been sort of Mia and William and Diggle's son, and, you know, all of that. And I don't remember, I think it was like Wildcat's son as well. And it was supposed to be like a Green Arrow and the Canaries spinoff, and that never happened.
Green Arrow and the Canaries, yeah.
I think we might have had some information to that effect on some things that went on with the timeline, but I don't really recall. And they may just kind of be playing fast and loose with it. I do know that we have what I'll refer to as an Arrow scholar, an Arrow PhD, as it were, who listens to Arrow Squad by the name of Kate Johnson, you might recall. Mm-hmm. And
I remember Kate. Hi, Kate, if you're listening.
Hopefully she's listening, and hopefully she can write us after this and let us know what is actually going on with Miss Mia and the Salmon Ladder.
That would be fantastic. The only thing that I came up with when we were talking about it is I wonder if in rebuilding the multiverse and saving everybody or whatever, maybe he just adjusted the timing of things. You know, maybe Mia is older now and when he is visiting because of how he had to rebuild things. I don't have the full details of what I'm trying to explain, but I just have a feeling it had something to do with some time jumps that we weren't witness to get them to this point. And along with him rebuilding the multiverse, maybe not everything is perfectly put back in place along their timelines. And maybe Barry messing up the timelines as many times as he has, and him even gaining 3 years of his own to re-celebrate his 30th birthday. Maybe he gained 3 years, but nobody else did. So maybe everybody is 3 years older and he's the only one that gained those 3 years. So there's a lot of things at play here that I think could add up to Mia being older now to where she should be able to do a Salmon Ladder.
Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, if she is at that stage of her life now, and, you know, theoretically everyone else is as well, that means that we are not really 15 to 20 years away from Oliver, you know, portaling Felicity over to the Paradise Dimension. We may just be right. A couple years away from that at this point. Probably is immaterial to what we'll see from here on out, but that is a very interesting question.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, we're not done yet, Cammie. We've got one more clip to play. We have to finish it off with Oliver's final bit of wisdom to Barry. And this is the scene that I think we all appreciated and hoped we got the most, is a bar moment with Oliver and Barry sharing a drink, as they always have in almost every single crossover. It's a beloved scene and moment throughout the entire Arrowverse. And they gave that to us here. And I think the interaction between them is just, again, wonderful. Here it is.
So you gotta tell me about these other Earths. I mean, how many other flashes are there?
More than enough. But I gotta say, nobody is more impressive than you. How many times have you saved your city now? 170?
180, actually. It's all because of you. I mean, you started this. I don't even know what my life would have been like if I hadn't taken that train to Star City.
You still would have been a hero.
Maybe.
But you made me a better one. You made me a better man. Prochnost.
Prochnost.
Hey, very good.
Okay,
Mr. Allen, I think that I had done enough to upset the cosmic order for one night. You get this?
You kidding? You're a billionaire.
Well, you can't take it with you.
Oliver.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think I'm doing enough with my powers, with my time here?
Well, Barry, you tell me. Do you give people hope? Are you moving through your city like a guardian angel? Do you make a difference? That bolt of lightning chose you. Don't ever forget it. Oh, and happy birthday.
Thanks.
Yakuza, Cammy, it grabs my heart.
Yes. That's beautiful. I even tolerated Barry.
You even tolerated Barry. I mean, that scene is just, it's spectacular because of Barry like we've been discussing, just Barry asking for that one last piece of assurance from his mentor. Am I doing enough? And I love Oliver's answer to it. And I, on our Flash episode, we got some feedback from our friend Dreamweaver, Miss Abby Frisco. She made the correlation all the way back to the very first crossover with Flash and Arrow, when Flash was visiting him in Star City on the rooftop there and was asking the same question. And Oliver actually says, you need to be a guiding light for your city. You need to be the hero and do the things that I could never do. You need to have people look up to you. And this is like bookending it. It is, that story has now come full circle because Oliver says the exact same thing here now. He says, are you that guiding light? Have you become the hero that your city needs? And it just, I was like, wow, Abby, I cannot believe that. A fantastic memory for you to have brought that together, because that really bookends these two characters and how they started together and how they're finishing together and getting to have this final moment. And it just really, really plays into how important this moment was. And I loved it.
Yeah, it was a really great moment. It was very in character. It was, again, well-paced. Pacing is one of the things I've brought up throughout this, that we're short on time in this episode of actually getting scenes with Oliver. As you mentioned, he only shows up about halfway through. But yeah, in each of his scenes, it doesn't feel rushed. It's always very intentional, and it has the deliberate pacing that we expect from an Arrow episode and from dialogue said by Oliver. So it's great to hear one last time.
Definitely with you.
Well, you mentioned booking.
And there's some of our rust right at the very end.
Oh, goodness.
Sorry, I threw that one on top of you.
No, you're fine. Speaking of pacing, my pacing's off. And speaking of bookending, typically we end our episodes, Flash, with transmissions. And it's where we get to hear what our listeners have written into us. However, because we were dropping this episode as a surprise, like a Beyonce album, we do not have transmissions. So maybe we could just flip the script here for a second. And how about you share your thoughts? What do you want to write, or should I say to our listeners to bookend this episode?
Yeah. You know, and I thought about that. Do we want to leave this as a surprise episode, or do we want to put the call out for feedback? And I don't know. I felt, as much as it would have been cool to see if anybody responded, I really wanted this to be a surprise. I wanted this to come out of nowhere, like Oliver Queen showing up in Central City. I wanted to really surprise people and just allow you and me to really get into it together, because we haven't been able to hang out for 3 years. So, but what I did in preparation is I listened to our Arrow series finale podcast to remember all of the emotions and to get back into that feeling of when we last were with Oliver. And it made me cry again. And it wasn't just listening to our discussion and our favorite clips, because those brought me to tears, and hearing how we said goodbye to the show, to Arrow Squad, to everything. But it was also hearing the tons of feedback that we got for Cammy, because all the podcasts that I've done between Arrow Squad and Legends, or Tomorrow's Legends, and my Star Wars Mandalore and all these other shows, no show has ever matched the amount of feedback that we got for our Arrow Squad finale. I mean, when I listened to that, I think we had almost an hour of coverage of just feedback. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. And it was so great to hear all of those old listeners, all of the people that used to be regulars for you and me, and people that would pop in every once in a while. Everybody wanted to be part of the finale. And what was really cool is that some of our Legends listeners, our Tomorrow's Legends listeners, started with us way back then on Arrow Squad. And forgive me if I don't mention your name because I can't remember all of them. I mean, X-Force 11, of course. We had Kerry Johnson. We had Comic Geek Kev. And then I heard, you know, I heard Dudu Geisler, and you mentioned Kate Johnson, and Aaron was always in there with us. Like, there's so many great feedbackers. Stormy Woods. Again, sorry if I can't remember all of them off the top of my head, but it was so good to hear a lot of those voices again, because they sent us a lot of voicemail back then. We really had a dedicated following for Arrow Squad, you and me. I think that was something I was probably the most proud of when we took over Arrow Squad at season 5 and we ran off into the sunset with it. I think where we really grew the show was with our listeners and our community, and people really started supporting you and me, and just all the words of kindness, the words of thanks, and the words of appreciation that we got in our finale episode and into our Arrow Squad send-off episode that we did before that one. It just really touched me, even after all these years, to hear it again, the support and the love that we got from our listeners. And I just wanted to touch back on that it meant a lot to me, and it still means a lot to me all these years later, that all of you guys out there, I hope you find this podcast, I hope you find this special episode, and it brings those feelings back for you guys as well, because it did for me. How about you, Cammy?
Well, Flash, that was just far too sweet for my cold heart. how am I supposed to be villainous after something melty like that? You know, I will say, I went back as well to our feed because, you know, we've got to fire up all the old engines. I got to figure out how to make the image that's going to go in this blog post. And do we still have logins for this, that, or the other? And I stopped in my tracks, to be honest, because I realized the last episode that we put out was posted at the end of February 2020. And it struck me how much things have changed since then, and how we've all been through, you know, very difficult times. And you mentioned some of the listeners we had, and I know you covered at least 3 countries in what you mentioned, and all of us across the world have had at times, hopefully a wonderful past, you know, 3 years, but inevitably a very difficult last 3 years. And I feel very grateful that we are here and able to come back and post once more on this feed. I'm grateful that I'm hearing names that I know are doing well and that we've still heard from. And if we haven't heard from you, or if this popped back up in your feed and you were like, I thought I unsubscribed to all the Arrow stuff, I haven't followed comic book things in years or any of that, please just know how sincerely we hope you are doing well. And that's coming from me, a self-professed villain. So thank you for listening.
Yeah, I love how you put that, Cammy. And then also, I think you mentioned it briefly. If there is people that have been out of touch with Arrow Squad and this does pop up for them and you'd like to get in contact with us, we would love to hear from you guys how it was to hear back from us and what you thought of this Oliver return and Dale return to the Arrowverse. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Now that we've done a show, and I want to open the doors to feedback, we can still get your responses, and maybe if we get enough of them, maybe me and Cammy can come back and do a feedback episode just to respond to everybody. That could be fun.
Well, yeah. Flash, you've got a lot going on where people can find you and hear your thoughts on things that are not quite only Arrow. So where else can we find you? What are you doing these days?
Let's get into, we haven't heard this in a long time, Cammy, so let me cue up the Arrow outro music and we'll continue our discussion. Here we go. Yeah. Wow. Been a long time since we heard that. So yeah, where can people find us? Well, I've mentioned a couple times, but Old Flash here is still on Tomorrow's Legends. That's the show that I began with Jess, otherwise known as Harley Quinn. We discussed Legends of Tomorrow, but that show is now done. So we took on Stargirl as well. And now that show is done, so we moved into Superman and Lois, and we are currently covering that, as well as the final season of The Flash. We picked up old X-Force 11 there. He now joins us for our Superman and Lois coverage. And then on our Flash coverage, you can hear from John McGrail, the Silver Fox, and Justina Shav, who is the Green Butterfly, which some of you may know from their Made of Steel podcast covering Supergirl. So we try to get all four of us as much as we can over to cover this final season of The Flash, because it is the end of the entire Arrowverse. So we thought it'd be just, it would be perfect to have all of us together to help take this Arrowverse off into the sunset. Other than that, I have an alternate identity. You can hear me as Cyber Wren, covering all the Disney Plus Star Wars shows on the Mandalore podcast. What we got coming up, we're going to be talking about the Ahsoka trailer right away, tomorrow actually. And then we will be covering Star Wars Visions. And then after that, it will be the actual Ahsoka TV show, which comes a little bit later in this summer. And then later on in the year, Star Wars Skeleton Crew is what's next. So if you love Star Wars on Disney Plus, we cover all of it. So check out the Mandalore podcast. That's what I got going on. Oh, and I guess I should mention Cybercast. Cybercast is also in there. It's my personal show where I just talk about anything I'm passionate about. I don't get an episode out there very often because I'm just too busy with the other ones, but I do movie reviews and stuff like that. So if you want to check that out, you can as well. How about you, Cammie?
Well, Flash, you've got an exciting lineup there. Over here in my world, I have been live streaming every other week on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, Cammie and Ray. I live stream on Wednesday nights, and I talk about the TV that we've watched that week, The Woman Who Made TV Great, The Men Who Made It Maybe Okay, and I have some familiar folks joining me pretty regularly over there. The Kate Johnson, you might recall as the source of the best Felicity Smoke analysis during the Arrow Squad, joins me, as well as Carrie Johnson, who you mentioned as well. So we chat about nerdy television, not nerdy television, The Last of Us, The Flash, really everything. I've also been kind of podcast guest co-hosting with 42Cast off and on. I occasionally even take on mortal flesh and show up at cons and do some panels over at Dragon Con and things like that. So you can, you know, catch me anywhere on social media as at Cammie and Ray until, you know, social media burns to the ground, as it seems to be doing right now. But until then, I'll be there and in my corporeal form.
Awesome stuff. Yeah, I'll have to check out some of your live streams again. It's been a while, so I'll have to go find you over there. But I want to throw at you, Cammie, if you want to have old Flash here guest on any of your shows, let me know, because you mentioned The Last of Us. I don't know if you know, I was in an episode. I am on The Last of Us.
What?
Yes.
Stop it. I did not know that. That's so cool. And yes, I absolutely, that aside, would love to have you on the live stream. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And I want to hear about your Last of Us adventures as well. That's awesome.
I will send you a couple links. I was interviewed about it. I will send you a couple links that you can check out. And I'll send you, I made a little video clip of my appearance so you can watch that. So you don't have to watch the entire episode again, but I'll show you that. But yeah, anytime, open invite. I would love to come hang out with you sometime.
I would love to have you. And I can't wait to see your clip from The Last of Us. That's so cool.
Totally will. And I'm going to leave an open invitation. We would love to have you over on Tomorrow's Legends again sometime. Here are your thoughts on Super and Lois. I'd love to hear where you're at with that one.
Oh, well, anytime you want a dark villainous presence to enter the room and create shadows everywhere, I am more than happy to appear.
All right. Well, we will discuss that behind the scenes. We'll figure it out. Well, Arrow Squad listeners, Legends listeners, whoever's tuning in, I hope this was a nice surprise for you guys. It is wonderful for us to be back. Cammie, I just want to say I've missed you. It is so good to be back with you and hearing your voice and getting to share some Arrow moments with you again. It's been great.
I have missed you as well, and it is so great seeing all of the fun projects that you've done since we last did Arrow Squad, but it has been very nice to be on Arrow Squad with you one last time.
Yeah, I guess we should always have that question mark in there, because you never know. Right? You never know.
You never know.
All right, guys. Well, that is it from all of us. This is The Flash signing off from Arrow Squad.
And I'm Cammie. Goodbye.
Arrow Squad is presented by Golden Spiral Media. You can find all our contact info, links, and feedback form at arrowsquad.com. We'd also love to have you leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. If you're looking for other great podcasts covering your favorite TV shows, check out our partners at goldenspiralmedia.com. As always, please share the show, and thanks for listening.